Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Golfer Bob Golby was honored in his hometown of Belleville this past year, an honor he says that was second only to winning the prestigious Masters Golf Tournament almost 50 years ago. We'll talk with him in a few minutes. The honor Golby referred to was his induction as an inaugural member of Belleville's brand new Walk of Fame. It was established this year as part of Belleville's bicentennial celebration. Joining me in studio to talk about that 200th birthday and to recall some of the city's history are two members of Belleville's Historical Society. Larry Betts is its president. Bob Brunko is society historian. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
And happy birthday, I might add.
Thank you.
Larry, let me begin with you. Does the celebration of the bicentennial end with the end of the year?
Not in our case. We've got several projects that are going to carry over to the next year, one being the recognition of some historic buildings in our downtown. We've got an initial list of 10 that we're going to honor with a plaque telling about the history of it. So this will carry over for a few years.
Give me some sense of what those buildings might be. What type of buildings are we talking about?
Well, we have the Lincoln Theater. We have what's called the Romeiser Building, which has a very rich history of a gentleman who initially sold dry goods, clothing. He initiated the concept of pricing objects instead of bartering for projects in his store, which is what we still do today in all stores. So there's a lot of history there.
Bob Brunko, a lot of historic firsts in Belleville?
Romeiser probably is a very good example of an innovative marketing strategy. Some of the first in Belleville would include the first railroad in the region in 1854, which arrived from St. Louis, East St. Louis, and the purpose of it was to bring oftentimes corn to the whiskey manufacturer in Belleville.
Is that commemorated somehow, or has it been commemorated during your observances this year?
Well, in a very indirect way, we produced a bicentennial calendar, and one of the photographs in the calendar is of this railroad, the Belleville and Illinois Town Railroad, and it later becomes incorporated into a variety of other railroads. It eventually becomes the Illinois Central, which is usually the way people remember this particular route.
Railroads certainly have played a big part in the development of this part of the country.
One of the major factors, I think, in the development of the railroads here was getting coal to St. Louis. Belleville was a coal mining town, and numerous coal mines in the area. St. Louis was the large market, and getting railroads there quickly was getting coal there quickly was an objective. First railroad probably goes back to about 1837 on the Bluffs, and it was sponsored by Governor John Reynolds. Wooden rails, horse-drawn, and they ran into a problem in that in between the Bluffs and the Mississippi River was the Grand Maria's lake. They weren't anticipating that they were going to have to drive down piles about 50 feet down to bedrock, and so they virtually bankrupted their operation before they started.
Would it be fair to say that the railroads, therefore, were instrumental in Belleville's development?
Yes, they were. In fact, one of the major concerns of the local business community was to make sure that we had Belleville's running through the town. They were extremely annoyed early 1850s when the city fathers went up to Springfield to agitate for state approval to build the Baltimore and Mississippi Railroad. The people from Belleville thought it would run through Belleville. It ran through a place which would later be called O'Fallon, which today is one of the large competitors of Belleville in the area.
And which is still called O'Fallon, by the way, obviously.
Yes, it's still called O'Fallon. And part of the controversy at that time was that the new railroad enticed the building contractors for the Belleville Railroad to join their operation, and they took all the supplies that Belleville had purchased for the railroad for this new enterprise. Mm-hmm.
Larry Betts, what has the Historical Society's role been in the observances all year long of the bicentennial?
Well, we see our mission statement basically says that our goal is to preserve the history of Belleville. And when we were asked to do a major event for the bicentennial year, we chose to do an old-fashioned German street fair and house tour. And back on June 6th, we held that, and it was very successful. It was attended by over 1,000 people. And we had German dancers, German music, and a lot of demonstrations that we put on of the way things were done, soap making, how the bricks were made, and so on. And the area that we did this in was on Garfield Street and Auben Street, which is a very historic part of the town. A lot of houses have been restored in that area from the era of about 1850 to 1900. And there was a brick-making company in the area. There was a glass-making waterworks in the area. So we tried to put on some demonstrations to show how things were done back at the turn of the century.
Of course, no coincidence that you're so reliant on the German part of your history, because that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Well, a lot of people think that the Germans settled Belleville, which is not true at all. It was settled by Easterners of English and French descent primarily. And the German – and that this was – the city was established in 1814. And then it wasn't until late 1920s, early 1930s that the German influx
– the 1920s or 30s?
I'm sorry. Yeah. 1820, late 1820s and early 1830s, the German movement started happening.
And, of course, they were coming to both sides of the river because of the tremendous German influence here, Bob, in St. Louis itself.
Yes, and the migration was really sort of driven by a settler in Missouri who wrote a book, Gottfried Duden, about his experiences. And it seemed that the Missouri River was just like the Rhine River. It never got very hot and never very cold. And you just throw out the grape seeds and you have vineyards. He deceived a lot of people, and a lot of them came to Missouri. A certain group of them had in mind to come to Missouri, and they were of a liberal persuasion in the old world. They were political radicals, political liberals. And when they came and discovered that Missouri was a slave state, they found that incompatible with their beliefs, so they moved over instead to Illinois, into the Belleville and the St. Clair County area. These were the people known traditionally as the Latin farmers, very highly educated individuals, oftentimes with university education, so they had studied Latin. They were professionals, but they thought they would take up farming. And that's where the farmer and Latin farmer comes from. Most of them failed as farmers. They moved to the city and then became very, very successful.
And they played, of course, a great role in during the Civil War, certainly on this side of the river.
On both sides of the river. One of these Latin farmers was Gustav Kerner, who became very active in politics. I think he was the first German-American elected to a statewide office in Illinois. He became very active in developing the Republican Party because of his anti-slavery stance, and becomes extremely significant in the campaign of Abraham Lincoln. He's a party manager at the Republican Convention of 1860, and helps to direct the convention to Lincoln.
Well, there's so much history to your community and to all the communities in this part of the country. Larry, let me come back to you with regard to how you set up the year to commemorate some of these things. I know you had many events. You've already alluded to the main one you had last June. What about some of these other things we're talking about?
Well, the Walk of Fame, if I can go back to that, this was the idea for this was born back in 2010. Our goal was to have to establish some recognition for people who were significant to the history of Belleville. And we tried to get this done as early as 2011. We needed the cooperation of the city, of course, to put these in the sidewalks and so on, and that bogged down a bit. So we made it our goal to have it done in the bicentennial year.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to
interrupt. Okay. And so we were able to accomplish that. The recognition of the buildings that I talked about, this is something also we wanted to get into the bicentennial year. We wanted to use this as kind of a catapult into the next 100 years for Belleville to kind of bring a sense of pride to the community of its history and put it right out for the people to see rather than put it in books and hide it away. These are going to be plaques out in the community that people will be able to access.
A real community event, obviously, in structuring this whole thing. It was with the idea of community in mind, keeping that in mind.
Absolutely. And of course, with all this is fundraising. This all costs money. So we were able to have some very nice house tours. We had the house tour in conjunction with our street fair. And then in October, we had a Charles King house tour. Charles King was an architect from Belleville that turned out to be had some national recognition. And so we had a tour of some of his houses that allowed us to fund. And one of those houses, by the way, is owned by Bob Golby and his wife. They live in a Charles King house.
Well, for those who missed the beginning of the program, we'll be talking to Bob Golby a little bit later. And as mentioned previously, he is one of the initial inductees into your Walk of Fame, which you have mentioned. Who else was inducted this past year? All right, we'll turn to Bob for that.
Well, we went back to the very beginnings of Belleville. A farmer by the name of George Blair is the first name on our list. He negotiated with the county to move the county seat from its location on the Mississippi River in Cahokia to the center of the county. At that particular time, the political philosophy was that government should be accessible to the people, and that meant in a day when people walked or rode horses to their assignments, that you wanted a centrally located county seat. Blair negotiated with the county. There were other people in the area who might have just as well have won the honor, but he said, "Well, county, we'll give you an acre of land for the public square for county purposes. We'll plat a town, and we'll give you every fifth lot in the town for county use." And that seemed to seal the deal in 1814. The next fellow on our list is Ninian Edwards, who became the great developer of Belleville. He came to the state to become the territorial governor, and then would later serve as one of the first U.S. senators and was the third state governor of Illinois. But he bought up all the vacant lots in Belleville and then offered them on favorable terms to people who he thought would benefit the town, merchants, school teachers, artisans. And he deserves a lot of credit for the growth that Belleville did establish.
What would the population have been about at this time?
About 1820, it was about 250 people.
Oh, okay.
And about 20 of them were African Americans. About half of them were slaves. That's one of the interesting stories, that you think that, well, Illinois was supposed to be a free state, and yet they've, by subterfuge, maintained a slave population through something called indentured servitude. Indentured servant for 30 years, and then, well, you could either renegotiate for another 30 years or be sold in a slave state. So
can't imagine what those negotiations must have been like, but that's another story.
Lyman Trumbull is the third person on our list, very active in the anti-slavery movement. He became U.S. Senator eventually after had an apprenticeship in Belleville. He was here for about 15 years or so and served in state government at that point. And he's elected to the Senate. One of his adversaries for that election in 1855, this is at a time when the state legislature elects the Senate rather than the people. He beats out Abraham Lincoln. And then in Congress, he becomes an advocate for the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which abolishes slavery in 1865. And then our Walk of Fame, we're trying to remember that life involves more than politics and business. So we've tried to incorporate entertainment and eventually cultural aspects of society. Our next member in this first Walk of Fame group is Buddy Ebsen, the actor who had a very prominent television role,
Beverly Hillbillies, sure.
Yeah.
Most people probably don't realize Buddy Ebsen was a song and dance man. I think most of us remember him as another kind of character from Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes. He got his training from his father. One of the neat things about the Walk of Fame is that we can kind of introduce some different aspects of Belleville's history. His father, Christian Ebsen, was the athletic director of the Belleville Turners. The Turnverein organization was a German organization fostering athletics and maintaining German cultural traditions. Became very prominent in many parts of the country, including in Belleville. And during the Civil War, many of these folks in the Turnverein were advocates of the Union and volunteered to fight in the Civil War on the Union side. The Turnverein had to close down operations for a time because so many of their active members were fighting on the Union side during the Civil War. They later grew on to foster public education and emphasize the role of physical fitness in the school curriculum. And Ebsen is part of that tradition.
A little piece of trivia regarding Buddy Ebsen. Yeah. Many people probably know this, but he was initially supposed to be the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, the movie The Wizard of Oz, but he was allergic to the paint that they were going to have to use to make him look like a Tin Man. Therefore, he didn't get the role or couldn't take the role.
And went on to other things.
Yes, he did.
And then the last fellow on our list is Bob Golby. And you'll hear much more about him in a few minutes. A tremendous citizen, as well as a great great athlete. And one of the issues that we find in building this Walk of Fame is, well, we want to take history up to the modern period. History ends yesterday, and tomorrow it'll end today. But you want to be careful in who you select because, you know, when do you pick that person? How far in their career do they need to be before we say, well, this is who they are?
I was going to ask Larry to come into the conversation at this point and talk about how you're going to keep this going.
Well, we've already got a list of about six nominees. Our plan is every 2 years we'll add two or three more people to our Walk of Fame, and we've already put considerable thought into who the next class is going to be. So it's not something that we're just going to put away for a couple of years and not follow up with it. And the location that we have on our public square with our plaques, we've got room for about 15 plaques, and then we can expand down the street from there.
And how is that set up, much as it is in Hollywood or even in University City here, with plaques embedded in the sidewalk? Is that it?
Well, they're not actually in the sidewalk. They're in an area alongside of the sidewalk. And we wanted to have the initial class at least on the public square. We felt that was significant, and then kind of let it spread out from there. But the space that the mayor and the city gave us to put our plaques, there's going to be room for about 15. So we'll be able to put them there and then start expanding down the streets from there.
You know, I'll put this to you. Has there been any sense of competition historically between Belleville and St. Louis? I mean, a large German population. There was a brewing industry over in Belleville at the time. I'm just wondering if there was a sense of competition.
Well, in the brewing industry, there certainly was. One of the things we're developing is a museum. We purchased an old saloon that was built in 1895 on Garfield Street that had been built by the president of the Stagg Brewery at the time. It was actually the Western Brewery at that time. Stagg was not in existence yet. Adam Gintz was his name, and he built the saloon and then leased it to the Stagg Beer Company. And the competition of Stagg became pretty great with Anheuser-Busch. So Adolphus Busch felt a need that they were cutting in too much of their market share, so he tried to establish a presence in Belleville, and he bought the old city park and developed an area where people could come and sit out and enjoy the evening and drink beer, and even ran a railroad over to it so he could haul his beer over. He had tunnels made for the ice and all of this, and was trying to compete with Stagg, which was becoming very popular. And then Prohibition came in, and he moved out and never came back afterwards.
Marketing has always been one of Anheuser-Busch's strong points. There is no question
Absolutely.
About that.
You know,
go ahead.
As early as the 1850s, you read the newspaper advertisements in Belleville newspapers, "Don't go to St. Louis. We have what you need, and the prices are better here." So there is a long-standing competition here, of which Belleville was unfortunately on the short end of it. But in the early parts of the 20th century, the civic leaders of Belleville talked about growing up in the shadow of the metropolis and yet being able to succeed as best they could. And I guess that competition to some degree extends to the present. You know, there's talk about building a new Lambert Field on the Illinois side of the Mississippi. And
a new Lambert Field, did you say?
Yes, back in the 1960s. Actually, apparently it progressed quite far distance before the St. Louis people put the kibosh on it.
When I came here, there was talk. Remember, Mayor Cervantes was talking about building an airport over in water, Columbia Waterloo.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I would gather that Belleville never really stood a chance competing with St. Louis by virtue of the fact of the proximity to the river here.
Proximity of the river. St. Louis had a 50-year head start. Yeah. But I think the river is probably the major factor in there was really nothing in Belleville other than native talent that got it to where it was able to go.
But what is the population of Belleville today?
It's about 45,000. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this side of the river. There's all dozens of communities bunched together around it.
Larry Betts, we had talked earlier on about the sense of community that certainly existed before the bicentennial celebration, but was fostered and generated even more so by the celebration. I know that there's a comprehensive plan that is being worked on in Belleville. We've looked back a little bit in the limited time we have, but looking ahead, what can we look to, do you think, in the future?
Well, we had the streetscape that was developed a few years ago in downtown is going to be extended north toward Fairview Heights. It's going to be extended west toward Lindenwood University. Lindenwood University purchase of the old Belleville Township West campus has been just a tremendous aspect to our city. They've invested a lot of money into the area, and now the city has decided to extend their streetscape out to the Lindenwood campus. And we have the original town of West Belleville, which was a separate community from Belleville and was taken in 1882, I believe. That has just been established as a National Historic District. So that's going to generate a lot of development there with the 20% tax credits that come with that.
So lots going on in Belleville. There's been a lot of history in the first 200 years or so, and a lot more to come, obviously. Folks who are very much together in Belleville, needless to say. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for being with us. Fascinating to talk about Belleville. We don't talk about it enough, I'm sorry to say, but perhaps we'll be doing more so now as you continue on your road to further progress in Belleville, Illinois. Larry Betts and Bob Bronco, thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, as advertised, one of Belleville's most famous sons, golfer Bob Golby. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.